Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Lexi Witcher is the author of young adult contemporary paranormal romances. Her Bittersweet 16 series begins with Dodie Jinx as your typical teenager, until she learns she is the next in line to be claimed by a 300-year-old curse on her 16th birthday. While struggling for her life, Dodie unravels a chain of events that no one is prepared for. Dodie and the warlock she loves work together to find the key that will set the Dougherty descendants free in the Bittersweet 16 series by Lexi Witcher on Amazon.com and where all fine ebooks are sold. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for. Thank you for visiting Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We're so glad you've joined us here in the Dark Hollows Press Parlor. Donna Wright is having an open house in the sitting room this evening, and I'm personally hoping for some hot vanilla chai latte. We'll be hearing about any updates on the Romancing the Smokies event coming March 19th. Mallory Kane will have news and info in the romance and publishing industry at the bottom of the hour. This is Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, brought to you by Dark Hollows Press. I'm Jackie DeVera. And now your non-concessation compere, Donna Wright.
And I am Donna Wright, and this is Hummingbird Place. And if you notice, Jackie didn't tell you who all was going to be here tonight. Well, let me tell you who's going to be here tonight. I have on the couch with me, all four of us are just sitting here around the wonderful sitting room. Yes, we've allowed Mallory Kane into the sitting room. And I have Lexi Witcher, Mallory Kane, and Jackie DeVera, and we're all here. And I would like to start by asking Jackie DeVera a question.
Okay.
Okay, Jackie. Where do you come up with all of those things to call me?
Why? There are actually two places that I go to. One is thesaurus.com, and The other is a blog called The Good Word blog. And It gives me a word every day. It says, what's the good word for the day? And concessiation was one of the words from last week. And it's like, I'll use that one. I haven't used it yet.
When you go into the thesaurus, do you just give them my name? And they come back with all of these wonderful things? Is that what it is?
That is what it is, yes. And because I trust the thesaurus, and it comes up with things that I feel aptly describe you sometimes, every so often.
Okay, let me go ahead and say hello to Lexi Witcher. Lexi, welcome to Hummingbird
Park. Hey! Thank you for having me tonight. It's so cold out there.
It is very cold. Here in East Tennessee, we're supposed to have some really bad weather. And let's go ahead and welcome the lady who's going to sort of facilitate this evening, my news anchor. Do you like that news anchor? I like that. Mallory Kane. I think Mallory's here. Mallory, I know that you're here. Because you're lit up, so I don't know what's going on, but try to be with us. Okay, let's just go ahead and get started. And Mallory, as soon as you get things worked out, you just speak up. I will tell you that I did it. Yes, I did. I did it. Last night, my husband and I went to see Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
I can't wait to go see this movie.
Oh, it was so good, Jackie. You've got to see it.
It was really cute.
I was going to go see it this weekend, but I didn't get paid.
Can I say that on the show?
It was what?
It was Kick-Ass.
Yes, I think you can say that. Okay. As a Jane Austen fan, a huge fan of Jane Austen. Yeah, I basically am a Jane Austen fanatic. I went to see it only because my husband really wanted to see it. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to continue to really put this movie down, then I should go see it so that I can be talking with, you know, what I know. But honestly, I would give it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was cute. I love Lily James, who played Lizzie, and I love her in Downton Abbey, and I love her in just about everything I've seen her in. And it had very comical parts. Most of it you would find funnier if you knew the story, in my opinion. Lexi, what do you think?
I loved Matt Smith as Mr. Collins.
Oh, he was fabulous. He really was. Now, I'm unfamiliar with that actor. Has he been in something?
Doctor Who.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he is Doctor Who.
He is totally. He is my youngest first Doctor Who, so he's like the only Doctor Who we're allowed in the house now.
Okay, joining us also is Mallory Kane. Mallory, welcome back to Hummingbird Place.
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
We can hear you now.
Oh, good, good.
We're discussing.
Well, I'm excited to hear that you liked Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I think there'll be a sequel, don't you?
I do. I think very much so that there could be a sequel.
I
don't
want to open for it.
I do. I don't want to say that. I don't want to give anything away, but there was a place where I thought that they had really gone off story as far as characterization, but it turned right around. I thought, surely to goodness, no, this will have to turn around. They cannot do this, and they didn't. I mean, it was just, it was really good. I have to say, I really enjoyed it.
I cannot believe that I'm hearing you say that, but I'm impressed.
I know. I know. Well, you know, think about how impressive it would have to be for me to say that.
I know. I can't wait to see it now.
Yeah, really.
Well, I keep hearing great things about it.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
I
don't know who did the makeup, and I'm a big person who loves to know about who did the makeup and stuff, but don't know who did it, but I thought done very, very well. And I don't know, I just really, like I said, I enjoyed it. Mallory, what have you got for us to talk about this evening?
Well, I'm thinking that perhaps we can be here at a special edition of, oh, I don't know, the romance novel talk.
Yeah.
And talk about books with Jackie and Lexi and you and me, Donna.
That sounds
I've
good.
Got some things to bring up to you. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the talk, but and right now I can't think of her name, but what the person who sort of moderates it has stories that she brings up, and then she asks the audience and the people around the table to talk about those stories and to tell her what they think about them. So I'm going to try that this evening and see what happens. Are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm game.
First of all, writer Yann Martell is best known for his 2001 book, Life of Pi, about a teenage boy adrift at sea with a Bengal tiger. His book won the Man Booker Award and also became a respected movie that won 4 Academy Awards. You all may be familiar with the movie, if not the book.
Yes.
Having seen ads for it and so on. Now, he was being interviewed on NPR today, and he was asked on the Diane Reims show if such an amazing success for his first published novel had changed his attitude toward or his method of writing. And he said no, that nothing about his writing or that nothing about his writing had changed because of the amount of success he got on that first novel. He said each book is its own experience and challenge, and that what happens with one book has absolutely nothing to do with what happens when you sit down to write the next book. And my question to you is, if your next book were to win awards and be made into a movie, do you think that would change anything about your writing?
What do you think, Lexi?
Well, I don't know.
You might wonder if you would be intimidated. I've thought about this question, and I think that it's possible I might be intimidated and think I might never be able to recreate, you know, the success of that one book. So do you think you would feel like that? Do you think that once you sat down to write, it would still be the same and you'd just be writing like you always did?
I don't know. It almost made me be afraid that it might be a stumbling block, you know, for any subsequent book or stories that would go along with that story. If, you know, it wasn't just if the series was still a work in progress, you know, it had not come to an end and I had moved on to something else, it might mean, you know, do I need to make it more, you know, I don't know what that word I'm trying to find.
Well, let me ask you this related question, each one of you. What did happen to you when you got your first book published? How did you feel about writing that next book or keeping on writing after that first book that you got published?
Well, once Bittersweet was out, Bittersweet. And then I was working on Twisted. I kept worrying about, was I going to, you know, was it going to be enough to keep the interest of the reader, you know? I kept trying to focus on how would the reader, you know, react to the story? Would they stay engaged? You know, and I think that's the reason it took me a little bit longer to write that one, because I kept thinking, you know, am I doing it justice? Am I making it clear? Am I, you know, but then Wicked, it just flew again, just like Bittersweet did, you know, so it was easier, you know, and I'm working on the fourth one now, and yes, it's taken a little longer, but I've had a lot of other things going on in my life too, but I think at the same time, it's helping me to think this one out a little bit more and, you know, decide what direction this series is going to go in. You know, will the fourth book be it, or will there be more? And I might not know for sure until I come to the end of this, you know, this episode or, you know, saga or, you know, book in the series. So I don't know, you know. I know a lot of people, you know, saw the Breaking Dawn as a Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series, as, you know, that she had sort of went a little bit over the top because of the others, you know, being made into movies, you know, how things happened with Edward and Bella and the baby, you know. But I didn't. I thought it stayed in character, and I didn't think that she had really, you know, made it, you know, too sensational.
Too much.
You know.
Yeah.
Plot. Like some, you know, people were saying, but, you know, maybe others did. I don't know. I guess I would just be I just try to stay true to myself as a writer and what I do.
Right.
You know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Right. I think that I felt the same way. I was a little bit intimidated by that second book. Plus, I didn't have a second book once my first book sold, so I had to hurry up.
Right.
All right. We're going to be right back with Lexi Witcher, Jackie DeVera, and Mallory Kane, and myself, Donna Wright, right after this.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappeth will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio. February 9th brings us a release by Cassandra Pierce, entitled Loving Two Vampires. Lindsay Tanner arrives in Purgatory, a private nightclub, to study the strange clientele who frequent it. Though she believes the people there are simply indulging in dark fantasies, she is in for a shock. The patrons who frequent the establishment really are vampires. Those she finds a strong attraction for have secrets, with each out to destroy the other. Research or not, Lindsay must find a way to bring them all together. Cassandra Pierce and Loving Two Vampires, from Dark Hollows Press.
All right, and we are back on the couch with Lexi Witcher, Mallory Kane, and Jackie DeVera. Of course, I'm Donna Wright, and we are just sitting here talking about what it would be like if our first book was a big hit and became a movie. Jackie, what do you think about that?
I would die.
Okay. Well, remind me to not discourage Jackie ever being successful.
My head would literally explode.
Would it literally explode?
It would literally. Explode.
Funny.
Would I write differently was, I think, that one of the original questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, once I picked myself up off the floor and then got sobered up again, I would probably take a long time to write again because of the sophomore fear. I would probably think, well, what did I do right? Can I do that again? What if I don't do that again? What, you know, the whole what if fear that stops you from writing and trying to get published in the first place, I think would be 100 times worse after you're successful, because you're thinking, yay, I finally got a book out there. You're not thinking, yay, I finally got a bestseller out there and now I'm going to be rich. You're just thinking, yay, I got that first book out there. So I'm thinking that it would take me a while to get back into writing. And if there had to be a sequel, then I would probably need a lot of therapy and then go to, you know, my little happy place that I always go to when I write. And anyway, I mean, to me, you just have to kind of go back and fall back to what drives you in the first place to make that effort to put yourself out there again. Because now all of a sudden the limelight's on you. And before, you just kind of threw something out there and hoped somebody, you know, picked it up and liked it. And now mm-hmm. you've got to close up. So I think it would be a lot harder.
Right. That's kind of what I'm thinking. How about you, Donna?
Well, you know, sitting here thinking about it, I don't know, because I had mild, very mild success with my first book, and it wasn't at all hard to do the second one or the third one. The fourth one, like, killed me.
yeah.
Yeah, really. I was ready to make bacon out of the pig, you know. But I kind of wonder, what I started thinking about when you were talking about this was Harper Lee. Harper Lee never wrote another novel. And, you know, you kind of wonder, did she only have the one story inside her? And then of course, the Watchmen book came out, which was basically a sequel in a sense. And I think that that it was very, very mixed reviews.
Yeah.
I know people who actually pre-ordered the book and then canceled their pre-order when they found out what it was about.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, her success with her first book was incredible.
Yeah.
Made into an Oscar-winning movie with probably some of the best actors in the entire world. And then 55 years later, when she published or had her second book published, it actually was a first rejected draft of her first book.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have talked about before on the show, she's 89, and apparently she was okay with having that book published 55 years later. And so that's another question. Would you be okay with having your under-the-bed book published 50 years after the publication of your first book?
Well, I would answer that one before. I'm going to take the lead on that one. The answer to that for me is no. Not in the same situation that she did, but let me tell you why. We all write drafts if we're authors. We write our drafts. Sometimes in your first draft, and here's a perfect example, Star Wars. In the first draft of Star Wars, Han Solo was like a lizard creature.
Ew.
Okay? Yeah.
But a sexy lizard creature.
Possibly. But the point I'm making is that we sometimes change characterization in different drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that's exactly, now this is just Donna speaking, this is Donna's opinion, nobody else. I've never read To Kill a Mockingbird, I've only seen the movie, thought it was fabulous. Loved Gregory Peck, and did not even realize that Boo Radley was one of my favorite actors, Robert Duvall, until years later.
Oh.
But anyway, I kind of feel like that she had a first draft under the bed, and that's what was published. Now, it has come out from family and friends that, yes, she knows what's going on, and that's great. I would not have done it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, anybody else want to weigh in on the Harper Lee thing before we go on to our next
The whole part of her being like, what, how old is she, 80-something? Is that what you said?
89.
So when I'm 89, they can do whatever the heck they want to. I'm not going to care.
Yeah.
Really, I really don't think that I'm going to care. But if I did care, I'm going to side with Donna that I would want to rewrite it. You know, I would want to have enough of my facilities together that I want to go back over and read it and make sure that I want my name on it. If I go back and read it and go, oh, yeah, that's even better than the first one. I wrote good. Ooh, I'm good. And yeah, go for it. You know, give me some more money.
Sometimes happens, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. What is the name of the second book, Mallory?
Go Set a Watchman.
Go Set a Watchman actually ruined a character, a beloved icon of American culture for many readers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
Why, you know, and that's why I said what I said, because I believe that was a first draft, again, my personal opinion, and had it been my first draft, it would never have seen the light of day unless I could have either written or had someone even ghostwrite a better characterization of...
Right. Right. So... Yeah,
I'm finished.
Very much so. I agree with that, too. Well, let's move on to another really interesting question. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Cassie Edwards, the writer Cassie Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
She began writing romances in 1982 and released her 100th novel, which was called Savage Skies, in 2007. Now, most of her novels involve Native American tribes, and apparently her grandmother was Cheyenne. By 2007, she'd sold a combined 10 million copies of her books and had won numerous awards from RT and other well-known romance conventions, magazines, etc., and was known for meticulous research about the books that she wrote about the Native Americans. On January 7th, 2008, the blog Smart Bitches Trashy Books accused her of plagiarism after finding multiple passages in her novels that appeared to be lifted from various works by other authors, including books and websites about Native American culture. Many of those passages were from old references, some without copyright protection. And one of Edwards' publishers, Signet, initially defended her her work and the lifted passages as fair use rather than copyright infringement. Nora Roberts, who herself had been a victim of plagiarism by Janet Daly, the late Janet Daly, joined the outcry against Edwards, and 2 days after that, Signet announced they would be reviewing all of the books that they had published by Cassie Edwards to determine whether plagiarism had occurred, and in April 2008, they stopped publishing Edwards' books due to, quote, irreconcilable editorial differences. In an interview, Edwards said she did not know that she was supposed to credit such sources as she had lifted to put in her books. Now, what if your favorite author, and maybe one of those folks is your favorite author, but what if your favorite author was accused of plagiarism? Would you stop reading her books?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I can honestly say that the author that I started writing romance because of this author was Janet Daly.
Yeah, really?
And mm-hmm. I never read another Janet Daly book.
It is kind of a feeling of betrayal, isn't it?
It is.
When mm-hmm. you find out that your favorite author or one of your well-loved authors did not actually go to the trouble to write her own stuff. And in the case of Janet Daly, it was actually so obvious that a reader found it, mm-hmm. and she had lifted actual pages and pages and pages of
yeah.
Nora Roberts' work. Why lift pages from the most famous romance author ever, most prolific? Pretty weird.
I could not answer that question. I can only tell
yeah.
you that I have a solid answer to that because, yes, she was my favorite author until that happened.
Wow. Now, how long was she your favorite author? Had you started reading her a long time ago?
Oh, yeah. I had been reading her, well, since probably since like 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I
that,
don't even. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And I was going to say, and that didn't even come up until 1997, at least, because it came up when we first started the Smoky Mountain Romance Writers, and we were at a meeting of the Smoky Mountain Romance Writers, and it was right before the RWA conference that year that it was that story hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pretty devastating, really.
It was very, I mean, they had awards that were named for her and everything and
that's
RWA.
Right.
And
that's
right. It just, I think it devastated a lot of people. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was a favorite of many, not just me.
Exactly, and very much loved all across the country. But, yeah, that was pretty devastating for many, many people.
And I hate that it happened, but it is what it is. And now she, of course, has since passed away, which is even worse in a way, you know? I don't know.
It is sad in a way. Yeah, it really is.
So, I don't know. I don't know. What about you, Lexi? Did you quit reading Janet Daly when that happened?
I never read her before, so.
So it didn't really affect you?
No.
No. Okay. Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press Studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
And now the latest about Romancing the Smokies. And I know everybody is just, you just love that, don't you, Mallory?
I do. I think it's hilarious. It's
I heard
fabulous.
You giggling. All right, guys, let's just tell you that we've only got like 11 reader tickets left for Romancing the Smokies.
That's incredible.
It really is. We're just so excited. I'm just going to take this time, since it's just us, to kind of go over everything. So if you guys want to take a little break and go get you something to drink or go to the restroom, now's the time to do it. Just don't make any noise because your mics are still hot. So we're going to have Tanya Kappas as our keynote speaker, and Tanya's going to talk to us about indie before indie was cool. Also joining us will be Leanne Tyler, Sandy Sullivan, Shannon West, Trista Ann Michaels, Hallie Bridgman, Susan Tisdale, Nancy Nagel, Brandy Kennedy, and J.K. Ensley. They are our featured authors. We're so excited to have them. We do have gold sponsors, Kathy Daly, Rihanna Mallory, and Victoria Sue, and also Dark Hollows Press. Our silver sponsors who will also be signing with us with the featured authors and the gold sponsors are Julie Alexander, Deborah Parmley, Chris Nicole, Vicki Vaught, Carolyn Carey, Kate McKeever, Mallory Kane, and Andrea R. Smith. And I just hope everybody can join us. We are going to have a great time. We already have over 64 people who are coming. And
wow, yay.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And this started out to be, you know, I was feeling lucky if we had 40. So... Mm. Now, whether or not we'll ever do it again is still yet to be seen. But
we're
going to
see if Donna survives.
That's right. Also, I don't know if I said so or not, but I do believe I forgot, but I did talk my buddy Karen Hall into coming. She's a Christmas story extraordinaire, and she's going to be there also signing with us. So really super excited about having Brandy with us. I mean, not Brandy, but Karen. And we're just going to have a beautiful luncheon. We're going to have the book signing. And I'm hoping that everyone will just come along. And also, if you don't want to attend the luncheon, you can just sign up to attend just the book signing. And even if you say, oh, gosh, I forgot to sign up for the book signing, that's all I want to go to, just come on. We don't care. As long as you're there to buy books, that's what authors want. We want you to buy our books and read them. And
we
tell
want
everybody
you to buy our books.
That's right. And you might as well just get happy because I'll continue to say that. If you are a reader, authors want you to buy their books. And that's it. So, anyway, we're going to have a good time. Because wherever we are, there's a good time, isn't there, ladies?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Just like
all
tonight.
Right.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! All right. It's back to you, Mallory. What else you got for us to chat about?
Okay. Well, a fabulous friend of the show, New York Times and USA Today bestselling author Brenda Novak, just recently, in fact, just about a month ago, signed a multi-book, seven-figure deal with Mira Books, which also includes two special edition titles for Harlequin. Now, seven figures, of course, is $1 million. We don't know how many titles she's going to be writing for that contract, but we do know that she is a well-loved author and is certainly deserving of such a fabulous deal. My question to you is, ladies, what if you got a $1 million contract for a whole bunch of books you hadn't written yet? How would that change your life?
Oh, my gosh.
I would be drinking a lot more.
I would want such a big advance that I could take off work from my day job and write.
I think seven figures would do it, don't you?
Yeah.
I think so. So, but I would be, I work better on a deadline, but I'm not sure about a deadline for the number of books that they would be paying me $1 million for.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
Well, after I got out of the bathroom, I would really, I'll be honest with you, I used to write for a New York advanced paying publisher, and sometimes being under that kind of intense, sometimes that can be intense, and mine was not seven figures. My advance was not even one figure. It was a very low advance.
Oh, come on.
And
it had to have been at least two or three figures.
You know? So anyway,
yeah, you got at least $9.98.
Yeah, really. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know that I could do that.
I'm not sure whether I would sign a contract like that or not. I'm really not sure. You know, as appealing as the money part of it would be, I'm afraid I would be absolutely terrified at the idea of turning in books that would, you know, kind of live up to that kind of money.
I agree with you. We haven't heard from Jackie. Jackie, honey, what do you think? After you got up off the floor, what
yeah,
would you
on
do?
The floor. I was the one that said I would be drinking a lot more because I don't know if, you know, it would be hard to come to a place where you believed you could live up to that. You know, it would be really hard.
Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. For me, I'm not ready for that.
No. I'm ready for that.
You know, I mean, Brenda's been around a while. She's been around the block. Great writer. Sweet, sweet lady. You know, one more deserving will say all of those wonderful things.
Wow.
But I will also say that I personally, Donna Wright, am not ready for somebody to offer me that kind of money because I think I would break under the pressure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the folks that write for Harlequin Intrigue that I work with have been writing, they get these 10 and 12 book contracts, and they write the contracts to be done over about 2 years. So that's 12 books in 2 years because Harlequin doesn't write contracts for more than a year and a half past the current time frame. So it's about 2 years for those books, and that would scare me. I could not do that.
Could not do it. I couldn't do it. I was home, even if I did not have a day job, I don't think I could do that.
It's a lot of pressure, I got to say.
What
even
about you,
writing
Lexi?
3 or 4 books a year is a lot of pressure.
What'd you say, Donna?
What do you think? Do you think you're ready to be offered $1 million?
Oh. Huh.
Hmm.
She just fell on the floor.
Yeah.
Even at the thought.
Oh, wait a minute, Lexi, let me make it clear. I did not offer you $1 million. I just wanted to know how you would feel about
really
it.
Really asked.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. That would be awesome, though, just to think about being offered that to rot, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I would just... I think that would put so much undue pressure on myself that it might stifle my creativity.
Right.
Isn't that
that's
silly? But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that. I guess that's my biggest fear of, you know, putting pressure on myself and stifling my creativity unnecessarily, I guess. But,
I think we're all in agreement there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I would have to regretfully decline and ask for something shorter and smaller.
Right.
Because,
you know, my muse is so unpredictable at times on stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the story is just coming, and other times it's not. And sometimes
right.
I write a little bit, and I stop, and I go on to something else or doing something else, and then I'll be thinking about it, and I'll want to get back to writing on that, and then I try to, and sometimes it was like, oh, the ideas were better when I was thinking about it than when I actually sat down to write, you know, so I'm not getting anywhere either way. So, oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, see, that's kind of what happened to me. I had to turn, I turned in the synopsis for two books. And after my first two books, I actually got a two-book contract with Avalon Books, and it was on synopsis. And you know that the second one on that, which was actually Verdict Love, the last book, I couldn't make it work. So I called Erin, and I said, Erin, I'm having a heck of a time. That's my editor making it work. And she said, Donna, do whatever you need to do to make it work. I don't care about that synopsis. I just needed something to show whoever, you know. The managing person, whatever. And I said, oh, okay, I said, because I think I can make it work this way, and that's what I did, and that's when it started coming to me.
Yep. Well, I can tell you one thing. When I turned in a proposal, which was usually just a synopsis for a book, there was no, almost zero chance that the actual book would be anything like the synopsis.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say that they wouldn't let you change it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, I believe that they understand that when you're selling on synopsis, that you're doing the best you can at the time. But then when you're actually writing the book, it could turn out very differently.
Right.
So good thing that the editors are cool with that. That's all I can say.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, I would have to finish the entire manuscript.
Valentine's Day
I could
is
ever
just
turn
a.
It in.
Jackie, were you jumping in there to say something?
That is a negatory on the Jackie jumping in part.
I am so sorry. I meant to start the music. And if those
That's
of you
okay.
probably. Realize out there that the music means that we're coming to a place where we need to take a break. And I absolutely went to the next commercial instead. So now let's go ahead and take that break, and here is the next commercial.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and Dark Hollows Press has extra releases this week.
which might fulfill any reading needs you could be experiencing. Two of them are short novelettes, the first from Sean Bailey called Hearts and Flowers. A story of young boyhood romance cut short. Can a chance meeting in New York 14 years later begin to set things right? The second is by Palem, titled Valentine's Day Dreaming. An executive chef has his attention piqued by a secret admirer, leaving sweets and hints as to their identity. But exactly who will get their just desserts? Also this week, February 11th, there's a full-length novel by T.S. McKinney called Overtime, a new MM Sports contemporary romance. Be sure to check out your favorite ebook distributor and arcalospress.com for all your reading needs. January 19 sees the release of The Mate of the Tiger Prince by Shannon West, book one in a new series. Diplomatic marriages between members of different planets certainly aren't unheard of, but for Prince Mikos of Tigeria and Colonel Ryan Donnelly of Earth, it might just be a fate worse than death. The union is meant to end a devastating war that has lasted for over 150 years, but the Colonel also just happens to be a sworn enemy, not to mention completely, utterly irritating. Shannon West's new series, Book 1, Mate of the Tiger Prince, out January 19th.
And I hit that one by mistake, but I thought I'd go ahead and listen to it and kind of like the premise. So, all right. So
well, that's
we're
okay.
Coming.
Just interrupt me anytime.
Okay. I am Donna Wright, hostess of Hummingbird Place, and I have with me tonight Lexi Witcher, Mallory Kane, and Jackie DeVera. And we're just kind of sitting around. I've named this one the Romance Industry View. So we are in our last quarter of the hour, and does anybody have any other anything, Jackie or Leanne, Lexi, that you would want to, that you guys would want to hit? Don't everyone speak at once. Try to remember this is radio.
So, I was going to let Lexi go first.
Oh, I was going to let you because I feel like I've been talking so much. But I do want to give a shout-out to my listeners and let you know that I will be in Nashville at Sandy Sullivan's Weekend with the Authors. So if you're in that area, please join us there. You can find out more about it on the Facebook page, Weekend with the Authors. And I'll also be making a brief appearance at the Romance in the Smokies. I think I'll have some books there that you might be able to persuade me to let you have. I don't know. You might have to beg. I look forward to meeting everybody.
Jackie, what about you? Anything you'd like to add or say?
Well, I will also be at the Romance in the Smokies event. I am the lanyard goddess. So
yes.
if you have any lanyard needs, then you can come and see me. I'm also going to be Donna's personal gopher. So I'll have that hat that I can change into swiftly enough. And if I'm not mistaken, I will also be scurrying around and trying to help anyone at the Dark Hollows Press table as well. So, and as you know, there just might show up a couple of books there from Jackie, you know, at the Dark Halls Press table. So
yay.
Just throwing that out there, you know, just in case.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. We're so glad to have you guys. Okay, now, Mallory Kane, what else you got for us to talk about?
Well, I want to say that I am so relieved that my lanyard needs can be met.
I will be there on site, so any lanyard emergencies that come up, I think prepared for just about anything that comes up. So we're good to go.
I was a little bit concerned about that. So
well,
that is
but
a
I
great
have,
relief.
I have
worry not.
Okay, Mallory, I want to tell you this because this could be a special need. I may be a lanyard special needs person. I have a very thick neck.
Yeah. Oh.
Will these lanyards go around my neck?
Well, see, you need to talk to your lanyard needs person for that.
I know. That's what I'm asking Jackie. Jackie, Well,
I have a lanyard minion that assisted me today with precise measurements. Believe it or not, yes, these are just some of the details that I go through to make your life easier.
Right.
But I did measure the lanyards, and I measured several necks. So, yeah, and I believe that I have the lanyard for you.
Okay. Well,
here's what I heard. Jackie went to the Super Bowl last night and measured Peyton Manning's and Cam Newton's necks to make sure that the lanyard she had would fit around even the largest football player necks.
I also managed to procure some of their quarterback neck sweat that I will be seeing this week at the Dark Hollows Press table. So if you want to come by and sniff some neck sweat when you get near, then you're more than welcome to do that. I feel like I've got everything covered. So just
come
by.
I believe that you do.
It sounds covered to me.
Has his own clothing line.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. He has got some of the sharpest looking shoes, and I love his dress shirts for young men.
Cool.
I bought my son several, and then he said, "Stop buying these."
Because if you like it, Lexi, let's face it, he won't. That's right.
That's right. I didn't buy him the shoes because they were just a little bit too expensive, you know. But I really like them. They sell them at Valk if they still carry them.
Well, I do want to say this. I do want to give a shout out, and I know this is romance. It's all about women, but. I am a University of Tennessee fan. I live right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. And to have Peyton Manning, I call him my homeboy just because he's from Knoxville. I mean, he's not from Knoxville, but just because he's, you know, a graduate of UT. And he's been such classy guy. I mean, just he's somebody that you really wouldn't mind your kid emulating. And how exciting that last night they won the Super Bowl. I mean, It was a hard fought game. They were expected to lose by anywhere from 15 to 20 points. And
the Broncos had it made. I wasn't impressed with the Panthers.
But anyway, it just shows
what happens when you brag too much, like Cam Newton did. You got to watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I press conference.
Well, you know, they kept showing that poor kid from, and it wasn't him, I don't think, but they showed a kid on the Panthers side, and he was crying after the game, and I don't think they should have shown that. And I'm gonna tell you why. First off, the buildup of just being at the game. I mean, I know that there have been times when I have lost awards that I just wanted to sit down and cry, not necessarily because I lost, but just because it was over.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, and I think he was injured. He was an injured player who couldn't dress out because he was injured, and he was apparently really, really upset about not being able to play and about losing. It was sad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's two sides to every story. There really is. And I just want to say that I'm a big fan of Peyton Manning. I'm not necessarily a Broncos fan or a Colts fan. But I am a fan of Peyton Manning. I think he's a good guy, and I'm if this was his last game, which many people are speculating it was, I'm so glad he was able to go out on a win.
I know.
Hey, I'm going to break in here for just a second. On YouTube, if you'll go to YouTube and look up Peyton Manning and Sandra Bullock, if you've not seen the spoof that he does with her, I think it's called Blindside or Darkside.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. And that's all I'll
say. I have to look at that.
Yeah, really.
Look at that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Michael Orr is a Panther. Yeah. He was the kid that Blindside was about.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he's a Panther. But anyway, getting back to romance, we've only got a couple of minutes, so just real quick, Mallory, give us a real quick one.
I actually don't have another one prepared, but I would just say, why don't we say, what's everybody working on right now? What's your latest that you're working on for putting out there?
Jackie, we're going to let you go first, honey.
I am trying to work up a longer novelette. The last one, Queen of the Hollow, was a short story, a novelette, I guess, whatever that's called.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about, between 10 and 11,000 words, and I would like to triple that and put another book out. So I'm working on that, as well as my baby, the Paranormal Western series, which has not even got but two chapters in it, and I've been working on it for 3 years, but I love it dearly, so I'm not going to bury it yet. And and that's what I've got going.
Right.
Lexi?
Well,
I'm working on the fourth book in the Dodie Jinx novel series. It's called Postmortem 16, and I have no I will not put pressure on myself and give you an expected date, but that it is in the works, and it's coming along nicely, I think.
All right. Mallory?
Well, I'm working on the second book in my New Orleans finest. The first one is No Hero, that's with Thule Publishing, and the second one will be called No Saint. And it's also set in New Orleans and will be coming out with Thule. I'm kind of like Lexi. I'm not going to put specific pressure on myself by telling you when it'll be done, but I'm hoping it'll be done soon.
All right. That sounds like we've got it covered. So I would just like to thank everyone for being on. Next week, I don't have who will be on because Gelman didn't send that to me, but that's okay. It's still going to be a great show. I'm sure there's going to be people there, people from tomorrow night. Do we have a show tomorrow night?
Yay! J.K. Inslee, I hear.
J.K. Inslee will be on tomorrow night. That's right, at 8 o'clock, J.K. Inslee will be right here, and she's going to do an hour show tomorrow night. I almost forgot it. I'm so excited. She is a lot of fun. If you have never spoken to her, oh, my gosh, just watch out. She's crazier than a loop, and we are going to have a ball. And we will
be
here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, not 7. And the reason we do it at 8 is because I won't be getting home until 6:30.
Okay.
So I hope that everyone
that sounds
will
exciting.
To that.
Yeah,
it will be exciting. Everyone be there. And so I'm going to just go ahead and say thank you to our sponsors, Leanne Tyler and, of course, Dark Hollows Press. Love you guys. Thank you for everything that you do. And we're going to call it a night. Thank you so much to my guests, Lexi Witcher, Mallory Kane, and Jackie DeVera. This has
been an awful, awful fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been so much fun. Thank you for being here. Everyone, have a fabulous evening. And don't forget to join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.